Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Now to Canada, a country in mourning following the deadly plane crash in Iran yesterday. At least 63 of the 176 people who died were Canadian. Iranian officials say that shortly after takeoff from the airport in Tehran, the Ukraine International Airlines flight bound for Ukraine's capital, Kiev, turned around before it crashed. The cause of that crash is in question. Here's Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau responding to the tragedy in a news conference yesterday.
While no words will erase your pain, I want you to know that an entire country is with you. We share your grief.
Reuters reports that nearly half of the Canadian victims were from Edmonton, Alberta, and Western Canada. That's where we find Andrea Hunkar. She's a reporter with the CBC. And Andrea, let's first start with questions about the cause of this crash. A Ukrainian official says investigators will look into the possibility that a missile shot down the plane. And today, President Trump had this to say about it.
It was flying in a pretty rough neighborhood, and somebody could have made a mistake.
Andrea, has the Canadian government had anything to say about these reports that the plane may have been shut down?
Well, this is a developing story that is very new and unfolding quickly on our end, Tanya. Not too long ago, sources confirmed to CBC that U.S. officials have shared intelligence with Canada that the Ukrainian airliner was shot down by an Iranian missile. But as I say, this is a developing story, so we will be seeking, making efforts to confirm details and get reaction on that from Canadian authorities.
Yes, understood. Canada's foreign affairs minister has asked Iran for immediate access to that crash site. Will Canada be able to participate in the crash investigation?
Yeah, that is a really, really interesting question. As you say, Foreign Affairs Minister François-Philippe Champagne is pressing for access to that site. He says that needs to happen quickly so that consular services can be provided, officials can help with the identification of the deceased, and of course, so investigators can take part in the investigation on the ground. But like you say, it's complicated. We don't have an embassy in Iran, and we don't have diplomats in Iran. Canada actually severed ties in 2012, and that was over Iran's human rights record and support of international terrorism. In fact, Italy handles consular issues in Iran for Canadians at the moment. So that said, you know, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has said that Canada has a high degree of expertise when it comes to these sorts of accidents, a lot to contribute, and he is vowing to make a substantial contribution to the investigation. So we will see how that unfolds in the coming days.
Your news organization is reporting that this is the largest loss of Canadian lives in an airline disaster since 1985, when an Air India flight exploded off the coast of Ireland. I mean, this is an extraordinarily sad loss. Do you know why there were so many Canadians on that flight?
Well, Canada does have a large Iranian-Canadian population. The last census put the number at 210,000. But when we speak to community leaders, they're saying it's closer to 300,000 now. So that's a little less than 1% of the Canadian population. You also need to consider the time of year that it was and a couple of other factors. It was the end of winter break for schools, so students and academics, they would take this time to go back to Iran to see their loved ones. Many were, you know, here studying internationally, or they had immigrated. And on top of that, as we mentioned, because of the severing of diplomatic ties, there were limited travel options between Iran and Canada for Iranian Canadians. So not as many options available. And then the ones that are available are not as affordable. So when you look at that, you know, there are no direct flights, which means passengers had to use connecting flights. And that meant using European connecting flights. Another limitation, of course, is that traveling through the U.S. wasn't an option because of the ban issued by President Donald Trump shortly after he took office in 2017. So that meant using these longer but more affordable routes through countries like Kiev.
Understood. And as you said, folks will be investigating, finding out more about the victims and so much more about the case as this story unfolds. Andrea Hunkar is a reporter with the CBC. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.